This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. My brothers and sisters, we continue with our class on the life of Musa alayhi salam and his people, the Bani Israel, and what they did and the lessons that we can learn and should learn from this beautiful story. The purpose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us these beautiful stories of His Anbiya alayhimus salam and those people is so that we can learn from that and we can avoid the pitfalls and the traps and the deception of shaitan that grasped those people, because we will be forewarned. To be forewarned is to be forearmed, which means that we don't have to suffer the difficulties that they suffered. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi an-nasi liyuziqahum ba'da alladhi amilu la'allahum yarji'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means in Surah Ar-Rum, that the trials, tribulations, difficulties, calamities, sicknesses, pandemics, you name it, all of these difficulties that happen and come on to people are the result of their own deeds, because of the deeds that come out from their hands. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this to happen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits it to happen so that those people may get a taste of what they have done, a taste of the punishment that awaits them unless they return towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact that we suffer from these calamities is not a sign of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His punishment, but it's a sign of His mercy and grace that He allows this to happen so that we can think and we can return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The key thing to do is to ask ourselves, why is this happening? Because it is our belief that nothing happens without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants will happen, what He doesn't want will not happen, no matter what anyone else may want or not want. So if we as believers, as Muslims, are in difficulties, if we have oppressors loaded onto our heads and shoulders, if we are enslaved, if we are in difficulties, then there is a reason why that is so, and that reason is our own deeds. And this is what the story of Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel also teaches us. Why did the Bani Israel have to wander in the desert for 40 years? Because of their deeds, because they refused to enter the holy land which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. So they brought difficulties on themselves, and this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is Bani Israel or Bani Ismail or anybody, the same rule applies, because this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now, Musa alayhi salam had left Harun alayhi salam there when he went to the mountain, to Tur, on the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make itikaf there and to for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to him. And that is where he was given the Torah, and this was by the grace and by the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was etched onto stone tablets. And Musa alayhi salam left Harun alayhi salam in charge of the Bani Israel. So when he came, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him before he came down from there, it was not a shock to him. Allah had told him already that this is what your people are doing. Your people have started worshipping a calf which they have created. Now imagine, for Musa alayhi salam, this would be something which is unimaginable. And really speaking, truly, even for me, I mean today, it is unimaginable. I mean, I asked one of my good friends who is a rabbi, I asked him, what do you guys say about this? And he said, really, we have no answer. And why did the people do that? Because they saw the khudrat of Allah. They saw the creation of, they saw the power and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Exodus, in the saving of the Bani Israel from Egypt, from the Pharaoh, and crossing the sea and so on and so forth. They saw the multiple times, and they were in, they saw the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet they fell into this trap of Samiri, and where he got them to melt all the gold that they had taken from the people of Pharaoh, which they had, Allah Alam, I don't know whether we should say stolen or what, but anyway, they took it from there. So they were feeling guilty about this gold that they had carried away from Egypt when they came. So Samiri told them, look, give it all. We melt it and we make an idol with this. And then Samiri had some dust and some sand from where Jibreel alayhi salam had stood, and he threw that into that melting pot. And this calf which was created used to make some kind of a sound, and so this was very miraculous for those people, and they started worshipping the calf. Now, amazing, upside down thinking. They were feeling guilty about having taken the gold from the Egyptian people who were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they didn't feel guilty about shirk. I mean, imagine, think about this. I mean, I'm not saying that taking the gold was a good thing, but if they were guilty about that, how much more guilty should they have been about committing shirk, which is obviously a far bigger crime than anything else. But that's how the shaitan deceives us, and shaitan makes us see things in a different light. For example, there are people who are very particular about salah. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, this is very good. They will pray all the five salawat in the masjid, and they will donate to the masjid, and they will be the first people in doing a lot of good work, but they will go and worship at graves, at maqams, at dargahs. They will go make sujood there, they go and make tawaf of the grave, and they stand there and they ask the person in the grave to make dua for them. I mean, incredibly, you have to ask yourself, and what is happening to these people? I mean, don't they have any intelligence at all, or what is wrong with them that they don't understand that they are committing open shirk? They are ascribing to a human being, and that also a dead human being, the qualities which belong only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are ascribing to that person abilities and power and khudrat and glory which belong only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of shirk. This is the asal of shirk. This is pure shirk. Open shirk, right? Why do they do that? Now, if you think about this, here is somebody who is worshipping. It's not as if there's someone who doesn't worship. This person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all sincerity. This person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid, all of that, and yet they do this. So really, if you think about this, this is what shaitan does. Shaitan deceives us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from shaitan and from his deception. So this is what they did. Now Harun alayhi salam was in charge, and so Musa alayhi salam, when he came, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laysa al-khabaru kal-mu'ayna," aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. He said that the news is not the same as witnessing something. So even though Musa alayhi salam knew that this is what they were doing, when he actually came and saw them, he saw the calf and he saw the worship that they were doing, Musa alayhi salam was so totally shocked and so outraged that he was holding these alwah, the slates, the tablets in his hand, and he just threw them. Now, think about that. I mean, how much of a shock it must have been for Musa alayhi salam that he had to, he threw away those tablets. Anyway, so the long and short of it is that at the end of that, Musa alayhi salam then he caught hold of his brother Harun alayhi salam. And he said, you broke your promise to me. He said, you told me that you will take care of these people, but how come you didn't stop them, right? Now, Bani Israel blamed Samari. They blamed somebody else for their sins. And this is a sign of a slavish mentality, that we never accept ownership for what our deeds are. That's why we are condemned to live in that state forever. Because the only way that you can change something is if you own it. And if you refuse to own it, then you cannot change it. And that is the curse of slavery. So when Musa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Musa alayhi salam grabbed him by his ear, by his beard and his hair. Musa alayhi salam was very, very angry. Harun alayhi salam said, "Oh my son of my mother, let go of my hair and my beard." Poor man, he was he was afraid. He asked him, he demanded, he said, "How did you allow this to happen?" And Harun alayhi salam said, "Look, I asked them and I told them that what they were doing was wrong, then they threatened to kill him. They threatened to kill me." So he said, I was afraid that they would kill me, and also I was afraid that this would bring more division among them. Now think about this also. Musa alayhi salam, when he grabbed hold of Harun alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam told him, "Let go of my beard and hair and so on, and do not allow our enemies to rejoice." Now this is so important, a beautiful lesson in this also, of the importance of not showing, not displaying your ikhtilaf, not displaying your difference of opinion, which you have with your own inner circle, with your own group, right? With your own team members, with your own friends and family. Not displaying this in public. This is a good lesson for us. So if you have a difference of opinion, then do that internally. Do it in a place where you are private and where other people can't see you. Because people have fun with this thing. They for them, this is, you know, this is news. So they will talk about it, they will gossip about it, and so on and so forth. And those who are your enemies will rejoice in it. So never display your difference of opinion, if you have a difference of opinion, with somebody who's close to you, one of your team members and so on. Let your face, outer face, always show unity, inshallah. And of course, you can have a difference of opinion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop us from differing in opinion. But that is different from opposition, and it is different from breaking relationships. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us. He said, "La takhtalifu." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "La tafarraku." Allah did not say, "La takhtalifu." Allah said, "La tafarraku." "Wa'atasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraku." Allah said, "Hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together and do not create divisions among one another. Do not break apart, do not fall apart, do not allow divisions to happen." Allah did not say, "La takhtalifu," He did not say, "Do not have ikhtilafu rai." To have a difference of opinion is permissible. It just shows that people are, that you are thinking, that you are still thinking, that you, your brain is functioning, that you are committed, that you are interested in the benefit of the issue, of the situation. So alhamdulillah, there's no problem with differing, but there's a problem with breaking up. So here Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam is saying to him, don't show this, because people will rejoice. Second thing is, now Musa alayhi salam demanded for him, "Why did you not stop them?" It's a reasonable thing. Musa alayhi salam's demand was not unreasonable. That is what Harun alayhi salam had been sent for, had been left there to do. But Harun alayhi salam said to him, "The reason I did tell them, it's not as if I never told them. I told them, I tried to insist on it. But the reason I then did not insist even more is because then it was possible that there would be polarity, there was possible that I would, that the whole people, the Bani Israel would split up, and there would be polarization, not polarity, polarization between some people following me, some people following Samari, and it would have created a bigger fitna. So one of the rules in terms of preventing munkar, nahiyan al munkar, is to ensure that the way you do that does not result in a bigger munkar. Now many times people are, do this. People are very, quick and quick to point out mistakes and quick in the name of Nahi al-Munkar, in the name of preventing evil. And this is good, alhamdulillah, we should point out if there is a mistake, if there is something wrong happening. But the way they do that sometimes, it is so bad that instead of focusing on the Munkar, you get completely distracted with the way in which this person is speaking. Today it's a, you know, it's a common thing. People make videos on YouTube criticizing this sheikh or that sheikh or this alim or that alim. And the way they do that, even when what they are saying is true and correct, and even when they are producing the evidence to support their statement, the way they do that is many people, they turn it into like a stand-up comedy, right? Which is really disrespectful of the kalam of Allah and of the evidence that they themselves are producing, but they don't seem to understand that. That they make so much fun and dance and they, you know, play acting and histrionics that the seriousness of the issue gets lost. In other cases, people use, they curse and they use all kinds of ill-disguised profanity. The method of preventing Munkar is worse than the Munkar. So that is very important for us to understand that, and not doing that because we don't want to create something which is even worse. Now when Musa alayhi salam was given this explanation, Musa alayhi salam was a very reasonable man. I mean, he was very passionate, but he was very reasonable. So when Harun alayhi salam told him this, he said, look, stop disagreeing with me in public, number one. Number two, this is the reason I did that, because one, they threatened to kill me, and secondly, I didn't want a bigger rift to form between the people. Musa alayhi salam understood, yes, this is reasonable. So he accepted that, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive both of them. He said, قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِي أَخِي وَأَدْخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He said, oh Allah, in Surah Al-Asaf, Araf, Musa alayhi salam said, oh Allah, oh my Rabb, forgive me and my brother, and make us enter into your mercy, for you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Then Musa alayhi salam told his people to repent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed punishment that those who worship the calf should be executed. Now this may seem to be very severe, but it was a matter which was that severe. First of all, shirk itself is very severe, but in those days it was for them. I mean, it was so soon after enjoying the boon and the magnificence and the glory and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they turn and worship an idol. So it was a very severe situation, and so a very severe punishment was prescribed, which is that those who worshipped the idol, we're not talking about all the people, but those who were in the forefront, those who were worshipping the idol and doing stuff with it, they were to be executed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, and remember when Musa alayhi salam said to his people, O my people, verily you have wronged yourself by worshipping the calf. So turn in repentance to your Creator and kill the people who are innocent, who didn't worship, kill the wrongdoers among you. That will be better for you with your Rabb. And then he accepted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your repentance. Truly, he is the one who accepts repentance and the most merciful. Innahu huwa at-tawwabur rahim. So this is the thing is that, as I mentioned, the shirk is such a big sin that the punishment was very heavy. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their repentance. Musa alayhi salam took 70 of the best of the Bani Israel, the best men of Bani Israel, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they went to apologize for their sin. After having done all this, they went to make tawbah, and this was a very special relationship that the Bani Israel had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanks to Musa alayhi salam, that this kind of thing happened. So Musa alayhi salam took 70 of them to apologize for their sin. And they waited at the bottom of the mountain, and when they climbed the mountain, Musa alayhi salam, there was a big cloud on the mountain, and Musa alayhi salam went into this cloud and spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he came out. These men stayed outside and they saw the light in the cloud, but you know, the issue of fitrat, I mean, despite everything, even though they were the best people, see the kind of thing they ask. So when Musa alayhi salam came out, they said to him, "We will not believe in your message until we see Allah with our own eyes." And imagine, they're coming here to that place to apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make istighfar, and then there they make a ridiculous demand. And they're saying to their own Nabi and Rasul, "We don't believe you, and unless we see Allah ourselves." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a thunderbolt and a massive earthquake, and they all died. All 70 of them. Now, Musa alayhi salam was in a dilemma about what to say to the others. Because if Musa alayhi salam returned to the Bani Israel without these people, they would lose all hope. Because if Allah destroyed the best of them, then what would happen to the others? I mean, this was a very, serious matter as far as they were concerned, that people would lose all hope and say, our best people went to apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So now what about us? We will be finished. So Musa alayhi salam, and this shows the how, and remember, everything is minallahi ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does all this, only Allah puts in the hearts of His Anbiya alayhi salam and so on and so forth. But from a human angle, this is what the hearts of the Anbiya, they are so full of forgiveness and they're so full of care and concern for their people. And there's none of them which is more than that than our own Nabi and the Rasul and the Imam al-Anbiya and the Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His constant figure and his constant concern was for his Ummah. Right? To his last breath, the last question that he asked Jibreel alayhi salam before his ruh left him was about the Ummah, not about his own family, not about his beloved wife, our mother, Sayyidatina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. She was right there in the room. He did not ask anything. He didn't say, "What about my Aisha? What about her future? What about my Fatima? What about her future?" No. He said, "What about my Ummah? Will my Rabb forgive my Ummah?" So Musa alayhi salam says here, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَّتْكُمُ الصَّائِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And remember when you said, "Oh Musa," these are the people Allah is saying, "You people, you said, Oh Musa, we will never believe in you till we see Allah plainly. But you were seized with a thunderbolt, with lightning, while you were looking in directly in, when you saw that. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِن بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And then we raised you up after your death so that you might be grateful. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentioned this incident. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Araf, and Musa alayhi salam chose of his people 70 of the best men for our appointed time and place of meeting. And then they were seized there with this violent earthquake and thunderbolt earthquake. He said, "Oh my Rabb, if it had been your will, you could have destroyed them and me before. But you destroy us for the deed of the foolish among us. It's only your trial by which you lead astray," meaning allow to go astray, "whom you will, and keep guided whom you will. You are our wali, you are our protector. So forgive us and have mercy on us, for you are the best of those who forgive. And ordain for us good in this world and in the hereafter. Certainly we have turned unto you." And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "As to my punishment, I afflict there with whom I will, and my mercy embraces all things." And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. "That mercy I shall ordain for those who are the muttaqoon," which is people who are pious and who give zakat and who pray and who believe in our ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu mentioned this. In Surah Al-Araf. Now, then the Basharat of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given to the Bani Israel at that time. And Allah said, "Alladhina yattabi'una ar-rasoola an-nabiyya al-ummiyya alladhi yajidunahu maktuban 'indahum fi at-tawrat wal-injil ya'muruhum bil-ma'ruf wa yanhahum 'anil munkari wa yuhillu lahum at-tayyibat ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم وأغلال التي كانت عليهم فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and those who follow the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet who can neither read nor write, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those whom they find written with them in the Torah, that is people who they found the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their books, whom they find written with them in the Torah and in the Injil, in Deuteronomy and in the Gospel of John, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. He commands them for al-ma'ruf, which is Islam and everything that Islam has ordained, and forbids them from al-munkar, which is disbelief and which is polytheism and all forms of sins, everything that Islam has forbidden. He allows them as lawful at-tayyibat, all that is good and lawful and pure and beneficial as regards things, beliefs, people, food, everything, and prohibits them from thing which is al-khaba'ith, which is unlawful, which is evil, which is dirty, which is filthy, whether it is things, material, or actions or speech. He releases them from their heavy burdens, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's covenant, and from the fetters binding that were upon them. So those who believe in him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they honor him and help him and follow the light, which is the Quran, which has been sent down with him, and it is they who will be successful. Now, interesting thing is, after all of this, unfortunately, Bani Israel, having got all of this, still they hid the message and they refused to accept and they refused to believe and they denied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Musa alayhi wa sallam told the Bani Israel that this is the word of Allah and you must follow it and give me a promise that you will follow it. The Bani Israel refused. And they said, show it to us first, then we will tell you if we will follow it or not. Now, he has the tablets in his hand. Now they are saying, he says, this is the Kitab of Allah, follow it. They said, no. Now this is, alhamdulillah, this is the beauty and the difference between the Bani Israel and the Sahaba of Rasulullah. The Sahaba never questioned Rasulullah. When he said, this is what Allah said, they accepted. They didn't say, no, how do we know Allah said this? How do we know you didn't think about this? How to prove it to us, show it to us, what is the evidence? No, because they believed in Rasulullah. And this was sufficient for them, and this is the lesson for us. When we say we accept Islam, we believe in Islam, what is the evidence? The evidence has to be action. The evidence has to be action. Now, when Israel did all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suspended a mountain over their heads like a cloud, and Allah said, accept the law or this mountain will crush you to dust. The mountain will drop on your head. Now, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ أَقَذْنَا ميثاقكم ورفعنا فوقكم الطور خذوا ما آتيناكم بقوة واسمعوا قالوا سمعنا وعصينا وأشربوا في قلوبهم العجل بكفرهم قل بئس ما يأمركم به إيمانكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. And he said, and remember when we took your covenant and we raised above you the mount, saying, hold firmly to what we have given you and hear our word. And they said, we have heard and disobeyed. We have heard and we will not obey. And their hearts absorbed the worship of the calf because of their disbelief. Allah said, say, worst indeed is that which your faith enjoins on you if you are believers. Right. وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُ ظُلَّةٌ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ بِهِمْ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And remember when we raised the mountain over them as if it had been a canopy, and they thought that it was going to fall on them. And we said, hold firmly to what we have given you, which is the Torah, and remember that which is therein, which is act on the commandments, so that you may fear Allah and obey Him. Now the lesson is that the Bani Israel agreed and they made sujood, but they made sujood on their cheeks, and they were supposed to make sajda like this. They made sajda like this because they were looking up to see if the mountain was there. So rebellious obedience is deprived of blessing. This is the problem, right? Rebellious obedience is deprived of blessing. And that's the message that I want to give myself and you, and remind myself and you, that there is no sense in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reluctantly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu is our Rabb, and we owe everything to Him, and we enjoy His blessings, and we look forward to the meeting with Him, and we request Him for His forgiveness, and we beg Him for His forgiveness, and we beg Him to keep us in the company of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of this is going to happen if we are reluctantly obedient. How is it going to happen? Obedience with love, obedience with shauq, obedience with enthusiasm, obedience readily because we love Allah Jalla Jalalu. This is what is required in Islam. And this is the lesson from the story of Bani Israel, that even though they had Musa alayhi salam himself, the big Rasul of Allah, with them, even though they had the Kitab of Allah with them, even though they had enjoyed bounties and they had enjoyed bounties and they had enjoyed the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ways, yet because their way of obedience was with reluctance, not with enthusiasm, they did something only when they were forced to do it, and even there they tried to cut corners and so on and so forth. Selective obedience is disobedience. But because they did all that, the blessing was taken away from these ni'mat. So even though they meant to do, it was not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is my message to myself and you. Let us obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us run to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us understand that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blessing for us. Allah does not need our obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Samad, who lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, He has no need. He does not need any of His creation. He does not need the devotion of the creation. The creation is devoted to Him. The creation worships Him because we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the thing to remind myself and you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته